Real Life, the program that talks about the life of real estate in the Hamptons and the North Fork. The people, the places, and the things that are the pulse and heartbeat of life on the East End. And now, Associate Broker of Sotheby's International Realty, your host, John Christopher.
Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher, and today I have with me Laura Fabrizio, who is the head of Coastal Concierge.
Hi.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's great seeing you again.
Thank you. It's good seeing you, too.
Now, you were on the program before, and I'm fascinated by how's the progress doing with Coastal Concierge. But before we ask that question, or answer that question, I should say, is tell us, what is Coastal Concierge?
Okay, well, Coastal Concierge is a small concierge service that basically does all your to-do lists. Anything in a home or a family or even for your own personal services that you don't have the time to do, we are happy to do it. It's anything from getting your windows clean and your landscaping done to booking a boat excursion, a vineyard trip, or a small little dinner party. We're just launching this year what we're calling Summertime Grill, and we're really excited about that. So it's going to be 5 set menus, and you can take a look on my website and see what they are, but we're really excited about that, and we're getting great exposure.
So what happens? You come with a grill, and you come with a person that grills and people?
Well, we hope that everybody has their own grill, but what we do is we come with a set menu, and we have very different flavors. One's very Mediterranean, one's Korean, one's just down ho American barbecuing, and they're just set menus. You pick from column A, column B, and it just makes it really simple and streamlines the process for the host. We try to do a lot of the prep work and a lot of the marinating sauces in our own kitchen so that when we get to your house, we don't need to be intruding that long. And we go in, we make a beautiful dinner, we have a server, and we can do everything from set your table to get you some music and babysitters, whatever you need for the night.
How about wine?
We can absolutely do wine or sangria. We do a great paella, and we're happy to pair that with a sangria.
I love paella. I haven't had that in a while. That's fabulous. So, I mean, you're basically like a concierge at a hotel. I mean, you can call up and say, you know,
kind of the idea, honestly.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, I don't know. My background, I worked for a retail fashion industry in the city. I worked in the fashion industry in the city, and this was always a second home to me. And one of the things that I used to find so difficult was managing two homes in the custom that I wanted it to be done. If I'm having company, I don't want to just like stop at the supermarket and pick up a chicken. I want to have it be like a nice meal that has a beautiful table set. If, you know, I don't want to have to worry on the weekends that I need to get my windows done and my landscaping done. I want to be able to have somebody that I trust manage that. And personally, I think having the woman's touch makes the difference. We look at things with a different eye. And I think that is the little twist or the little uniqueness to my business as opposed to other businesses. There's a lot of people that do what I do.
So let me just get this. So say somebody's driving out from the city and their friends call and they say, hey, listen, can we come out? And they say, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, what we can do is call Laura at Coastal Concierge and she can get the meals prepared
Absolutely.
For us.
Or if you decide you want to go to dinner, I can get a babysitter, a car service, whatever you need. Whatever you need, we can get done.
That is fabulous. Now, can you also provide flowers? Like, you know,
Absolutely.
As they come into the house, it's always great to come to a house that has, you know, fresh flowers.
Absolutely. We have what we call the peace of mind package, which means that we go in the house during the week, make sure everything's okay, that there's no broken windows, especially in the winter, there's no broken windows, the heat is working, and if you plan on coming out on the weekend, we can have fresh flowers, a bottle of wine, some breakfast foods waiting for you. We can do some light shopping. If you're renting a house for a week, the last thing you want to do is spend one of your 7 days in the supermarket purchasing food to eat for the week. So we can manage, we can stock your fridge before you get there. Really, almost anything that your little heart desires, we will try to manage for you.
Now, what does this thing indulge for a day? What does that entail?
Well, we do little things like we do
like a spa.
We have masseuses that can come to the house. You can get a manicure at your home. We do what we call a yoga retreat, where we have a yoga instructor come to the house and give a
class. You can provide that.
All of this we can provide, absolutely. If you want to do a private workout or a private training of any sort, if you want surfing lessons, if you want paddle boards delivered to your house, I can arrange any of that for you. Also, if you want to go on a boat excursion, we've got a great captain that can take you out to Greenport for the day or just to a private little island where we'll make a little picnic for you. That was a huge, huge success last year. People really, really enjoy doing that.
Is that all day? Is that a...
We can do half day or full day, whatever whatever you guys want. We can take your son fishing for a couple of hours, or if you want to go tubing, we can do that. So,
yeah. Oh, geez, that, you know, that sounds fantastic. How does somebody get in touch with you? I mean, that's, do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's Coastal Concierge at managementmgmt.com.
And is there a phone number, by the way?
There is, 631-599-1864.
Now, something else I want to talk about is that you're involved with the Mauritius Bay Project.
Yes.
So, and can you tell me a little bit about that, since we have about like 3 minutes?
Yes, absolutely. So the Mauritius Bay Project is a non-for-profit 501c3 that's primary focus is to improve the water quality in our local bays. Anybody who lives, works, or plays on the bay should take a part in helping to improve the quality of water. We do that primarily through oyster farming, which is great because anybody can get involved. You can take your kids out on a Saturday afternoon or a Saturday morning and just help us plant oysters. We go to schools, and one of the things that I'm most proud of is the awareness that we're bringing to the issues in our bay.
It's so important. Yeah. I mean,
it is.
Because that's the thing, you know, it's an asset we have, and we shouldn't waste it.
It is. And, you know, I said this before, but we all work, live, or play on the bay, and we all really need to care for it because it needs our help. And if we don't do it, no one will.
Now, people can go to the, you have the fifth annual Oyster Fling fundraising cocktail party. When's that coming up?
So on June 29th, it's our biggest fundraising event that we host all year long. And basically, it's a really fun cocktail party. It's hosted by Buoy One as a caterer. We have a band, and anyone can come out. And if you don't feel like getting your hands dirty by planting some oysters, this is a great way to come out, support
can
the project.
Can you eat
we
the oysters?
We will have oysters. We will have three different kinds of oysters, so come out and figure out which ones they are. It's a really great event, and it's at the beginning of the summer, so it's really kind of a kickoff to the summer. It's very casual. It's fun, and we really enjoy doing this for the community.
Well, it's going to be just before July 4th, right?
It is. It's right before the July 4th weekend.
So is that fall on a Saturday?
It's a Saturday,
night. Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
And it's right over in West Hampton Beach at the marina. So Mayor Moore and her trustees have very generously offered the marina space for us, and we did it there last year, and it's a great spot overlooking the bay. So,
and this is the fifth year.
This is our fifth year. Yes.
Wow, I'm sure it's going to be quite a success.
Well, we hope that we'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how does someone get can you buy tickets in advance?
You can absolutely buy tickets. You can go to our website, MauritiusBayProject.org, or you can call me at the same phone number.
What number is that again?
631-599-1864.
And again, last time, your Coastal Concierge website.
CoastalConciergeMGMT.com.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Laura Fabricio, it's a pleasure and also a delight to having you on the program again. We'll be right back after the short break with our next guest, Jack Kelly of JK Wedding Collections. Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher, and today I'm with Jack Kelly of JK Wedding Collection. Hi, Jack. How are you today?
John, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always a delight and wonderful to have you here and also to see you again.
Well, thanks, John.
Last time you were on the program, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but you were into chefs, and now you've expanded into the...
I'm into brides.
into brides. And you have a company now called JK Wedding Collection. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What is JK Wedding Collection?
JK Wedding Collection is JK Wedding Collection. It's a company that, funny enough, I've had for a really, really long time. I've had the company for about 25 years. But up until probably about 2 years ago, the weddings that I did were mostly destination weddings. You know, I think I told you the last time I've been living in Sri Lanka for almost 30 years, the same time living in New York and also Mexico. So, you know, for me, the fun and the theater is those weddings.
Well, can I just interrupt you for a second?
Course.
Because I think your background is so fascinating. I mean, we met back when I was living in New York and you were
right.
in the city.
That's right.
Also, and you had a talent agency at
Correct.
The time. So you had a collection of, it's interesting, a wedding collection, a collection of
actors.
Actors and
I collect people, John.
I see that. Now, you had a number of celebrities. Just tell me.
Sure. You know, I'm going to date myself, but in the 80s, I had a very successful theatrical agency. And, you know, I represented some of the top young talent, I think, in America. I mean, I had Sarah Jessica Parker and Matt Dillon and Tom Cruise. And
was he a youngster when you say that?
Yeah, he was. When I started working with Tom Cruise, he was 17 and he was waiting on tables on the Upper West Side. So, yeah, that's how long I go back. So
that was before Scientology.
That was before Scientology.
Right.
That's exactly right. And that was before Nicole Kidman. So so anyway, the agency did well, and it was a really, really interesting point in my life. And then I went on to owning a casting agency, and I had that for a few years. And then I, I realized that I wanted to do something completely unique, and I had an opportunity to move to Sri Lanka. I adopted a son there, and
wonderful started, son, by the way.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Started a business, and actually started a hotel called 23 Palm, and that's actually when JK Wedding Collection sort of came into being, because we had built this beautiful hotel in the southern part of Sri Lanka on the ocean during a civil war. And funny enough, I had a lot of people that wanted to get married in Sri Lanka. So
even with the war going on?
Even with the war going on. Yes, exactly. I do. Bomb, bomb. But
didn't have to have fireworks. They were there.
No,
all,
fireworks all were really there. But it was really, 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 it was fantastic. And, you know, people really wanted theater. We, you know, every wedding we had elephants and we had voodoo dancers and we had candy dancers and
okay,
we had
wait,
Buddhist
wait, wait.
Monks.
A candy dancer. Now, explain to me what a candy dancer is.
Oh, you don't know what a candy dancer
no,
is?
No, I'm thinking it's somebody like, you know, a very attractive woman with candy in her hand.
Not really, but it makes sense. A candy dancer... Well, first of all, these are dancers that come from Kandy, which is sort of in the hill country. It's a very, very important town in Kandy, Sri Lanka. It's actually where the Lord Buddha died. And
I wasn't aware of that. Mm.
Yeah. So basically, these dancers are bought into weddings, funerals, all kinds of special occasions. And what they do is they drive out bad spirits. So on your wedding day, you want nothing but beauty and peace and harmony. And so those are candy dancers, and they're exotic, and they have these incredible costumes on, and they make a lot of noise, and they scare a lot of people away.
Now, what's the probability, if you have the candy dancer, what's the probability of having a divorce after?
Oh, you're never going to have a divorce. In Sri Lanka, you're not allowed to divorce anyway.
We should bring these candy dances. That's the next thing you should go into.
Right.
Candy dances.
Let's have a candy dancing business. Right. That's just what I need to do.
Just what you need to do. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
That's
continue.
Okay. So anyway, so it was an incredible time in my life, and I really enjoyed doing it. But at that time, there were really destination weddings. They were people, when I was in residence, people would come and they would want weddings, and you know, we would sort of do the same thing over and over
again.
That
was kind of new then too, wasn't it? I mean,
destination weddings. I think destination weddings, honestly, I don't think so. I think for the Europeans, people would...
They did that all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I think it's new for America.
Right.
Most Americans have their hometown weddings, and that's a whole nother
No, I
story.
Had a, you know, I had a destination wedding in Thailand.
Right.
And I went to the Amanpuri, and they said, oh, you really want to get married?
Right.
It was like a new thing. You
right.
know? So that's why I say, you know... I didn't know of anything like that.
Exactly. So it was a big part of, it was actually a big part of our hotel business. And so what I did is that I divided my time between Sri Lanka and then America. And then I had moved on in my career. And, you know, I come from an art background. I went to art school. So I had an opportunity to, I decided I didn't want to go back and be a designer, but I thought that I would combine my artistic background and my agent background. So I started a company that basically represented architects and designers. So I had that for many years, and that sort of led me out here. You know, I started my business just because I had so many clients out here. So that's how. So JK Wedding Collection has sort of has grown,
blossomed.
It really has. And I hadn't really thought about doing local weddings until I got here, and it's been amazing. I mean, there are so many places that are interesting that people can get married. And I mean, my two favorites, you know, one is in the South Fork, Breeze Hill, which is just an amazing 77-acre farm that has absolutely everything. It's got the beach. It has this incredible stone mansion.
And what's it called again?
Stone.
No. The Breeze Hill. Is that what you said?
Yes, Breeze Hill.
Right.
And that's in the
Bridgehampton, I think.
No, it's no. It's in the North Fork.
I thought you said the South Fork. Sorry.
No. Then the South Fork. I love the Paris Art Museum. I mean, that's all. So for larger weddings, that's kind of where we go. So we have two sort of go-to places that we don't have we're not exclusive with them, but when they see us, it's with kind of welcome arms. So I really enjoy the wedding business. It's been really, you know, it's been tremendous.
Let me ask you, what was like your most unique wedding experience?
So I'm going to go back to Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Probably my most unique wedding is that I had a couple that wanted to be married, and I kept saying to them, I said, well, you know, how many guests do we have? And they say, oh, we're really not sure. And I always get nervous when people say that. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be a cast of thousands. And they showed up. It was the two of them. And I said, so where is everybody? And they said, it's just us. And this was really right after this tsunami. And they said, you know what we'd love to do? We would love to invite every single person in this village to our wedding. So we had about 100 people that they had never met in their entire life. And it was such a joyous thing for them to do. And it was something that local village Sri Lankans really never, ever really experienced. Sort of, it is a combination of a Sri Lankan and a very Western wedding. So that was probably the most unique wedding experience that I've ever sort of done.
So if someone wanted to have a unique wedding experience, how could they get in touch with you to make that happen?
You can look at our website. It's jkweddingcollection.com. Our phone number, it's plastered all over there. So, but call. I mean, there's a whole, there's a whole
JK
process.
jkweddingcollection.com.
jkweddingcollection.com.
Oh, perfect. Jack Kelly, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. We'll be right back with the top producer, West of the Canal, Deirdre DeVita. Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher, and today I have with me the delightful Deirdre DeVita, who is the top producer for West of the Canal, like West Hampton, Remsenburg, and those areas. Correct, Deirdre?
Correct. That's me. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Deirdre. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Deirdre, you know, it's always a delight having you on the show, but this is not letting any cats out of the bag right now. But for quite a few of the quarters now, sales have been down on homes here in east of the canal.
Yeah.
Has that been the same for you west of the canal in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's really interesting because, first of all of the big brokerages produce quarterly report.
Right.
And I always read them all, and I find them to not say the same thing. However, one thing that's definitely true is that people blanket, they use the term Hamptons to refer to the easterly Hamptons. They're not really factoring in the westerly Hamptons in general. Our sales have been better than what you're witnessing here on the further east end.
Why do you think that's so?
Well, I still think that our area has not realized its full potential, and people haven't recognized it for all its greatness yet. So we're still on kind of a slow upward trajectory on that front. By the way, according to our first quarter report, which is produced by our in-house economist, who's a really, really meticulous guy.
Yeah.
Median price in the Hamptons is up 7.7% overall.
Yeah, but can't that also be because there's so many high-end homes have sold that that changes the, you know, the
But wouldn't
the,
that
the
be
price.
A good thing? Like, wouldn't that?
Well, the high-end houses are bringing up, you know, what's not selling in between now. Or
but the median is in between. It,
right.
It is in between. So I feel like if it's up, that's a good sign.
Okay.
In general, another thing that is different in our world is that what we call the high end is very different than what you have out here. We don't have any, you know, $150 million houses yet to sell. And almost all of our business is under $2 million. It's like 88% of our business. And so that's the bread and butter category that kind of keeps on going.
Right.
So in a lot of our individual hamlets, we saw higher average, median, and sales volume.
So it is very positive then.
Yeah. It's not across the board, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not the doom and gloom that you're hearing.
Right. And that's what seems to be out there. And a lot of the buyers are saying, well, geez, you know, I'm going to wait because it's going to come down further.
I know.
Have you been hearing that too?
I've heard it from buyers that are coming to exclusives that I have. And it's upsetting because I say, hey, wait a minute. You have to understand this is where you are and this is what's happening here. But you know, people sometimes embrace an idea in spite of a fact.
Right.
And that's why these perceptions are hard to shake. But using data is the best way at it.
You know, my feeling is that I think we're, 10 years we've been on an upward trajectory of homes going up in price. And I think right now we're at a correction. So I don't think, when buyers say, well, I'm just going to wait a little bit for them to come down. I think really right now is the time to, if you're thinking about buying, this is the time to come into the arena, so to speak.
Well, I agree that it's a good time to come into the arena. Even in our market where in several hamlets things are better this quarter than in the last couple first quarters. But we do have a problem with too much inventory in our market.
And yeah, but is it some of it overpriced, though?
Well, this is a tough question to answer because anyone who thinks they know about real estate is going to say, well, if it hasn't sold, it's overpriced. But the fact is, if you can prove to a bank or an appraiser its value, you know, based on
right.
sold comps, then it probably is viable at a certain price. But we have in certain price ranges too many of those to be absorbed per year, you know, and that's an issue in our market for sure.
Right.
So if you want to be the one out of, you know, eight that sells in the 3 to 5 million category this quarter, you know, you might have to make an adjustment. It doesn't mean that your house isn't worth that. It just means you have to be the most attractive in the batch.
Right. So it's a question of aggressively pricing.
Right. But here's the thing. In our market, it's very discretionary. You know, a lot of sellers don't want right. to be the one to do that because their house is valuable and they know it. They're not under pressure to let it go. So that creates that is actually what creates in our markets a great environment for finding actual market value because no pressure on either side is a component
right.
of that. But it's a slower downer.
Right.
You know, it just makes everything happen very slowly.
You know, it's kind of interesting on the sell side. I've had some of my listings say, you know what, I'm taking it off the market and I'll wait till, people get more real. And that's what's happening because the sellers don't need to sell. And the buyers don't necessarily have to buy because we're, again, in the secondary market.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's interesting.
Makes it interesting for us.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we have to be a little bit more creative in selling our homes. Like, you have a number of listings. I mean, have you done any different things now? Are you going more digital as compared to print?
Well, I'll tell you this regarding... We have very good digital exposure of all of our listings because that is the way that most people find us.
Mm-hmm.
But each time I'm about to give up on print because it's expensive and you're thinking, oh, is anyone reading the newspaper or looking at this magazine? Something happens to make me realize that it's worth it. I've had
wow.
a lot of occasions like that where I was just about to give up and then someone walks into the office holding a scrap of paper like, Deirdre, I need Deirdre. I want to buy this house.
I'm That's
like, okay,
fascinating.
I'm gonna
so
keep...
it does pay off.
Yeah.
Now, that is very interesting because we just recently at Sotheby's had a new agent came in and she got a new listing. And she said, I just want to digitally expose it, not
right.
any print advertising whatsoever. and she wants to put the money into doing digital. So, you know, it, whatever works. It, obviously, it works for you. The print, you know, like when you think it has no value, it shows that there is value.
Well, and I think you've got to have a little portfolio of ways of exposing things, and different properties are better suited to different venues. But I'll say that in terms of what I'm doing, it's less of an advertising change than really trying to tighten my margin, listing price to selling price. And really, I've gotten to the point in my career where I really want to say straight to a prospective seller, this is what I think your house can sell for, and we should list within 5% of that.
Right. So that's basically what you're telling the sellers now, that, you know, when you go for the listing presentation, a lot of times they don't want to hear that.
I know. I'm used to that. Showing me the door.
So how do you compensate for that when people are saying, no, I really think the listing should be at X amount of dollars, and you're saying, okay, it should be 5%, maybe 10% less. How do you convince them, or what do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, an important factor in a listing price is also the strategy of the seller. If they say, look, I've got to get this or I'm not going to sell, that's one thing, other than what should I put it on the market for in order to get some activity.
Right.
So you have to, you know, listen to what their needs are and their wishes, and then weigh whether, you know, it's a good idea to move forward at a certain number.
Well, you know, what you're saying, it's very smart. You're a very smart broker. And that's probably why you're one of the top brokers in the West End. Not West End.
That's my West next, my next territory. Over York the City. Pond.
Over the pond, the West End. Anyway, Deirdre, how can someone get in touch with you?
They can go to my website, DeirdreDeVita.com.
That's wonderful. And is there any phone numbers, or just go there and
call me on my desk line. That's 631-288-5409.
Fantastic. Deirdre, it's been wonderful having you on the program. This is John Christopher
for Real Life on Peconic Public Broadcasting, 88.3, right here in Southampton, New York. By the way, if you're interested in hearing this program again or previous ones, you can go to peconicpublicbroadcasting.org and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, looking forward to seeing you soon, and have a safe journey.
You have been listening to Real Life, the program that talks to the people, places, and things that are the pulse and heartbeat of real estate on the East End. Your host has been John Christopher, broker associate with Sotheby's International Realty. Your producer and engineer is Kyle Lynch. Theme music by John Christopher. Questions and comments can be emailed to john.christopher@sotheby'shomes.com. Real Life is also brought to you in part by LEAP Compliance, HR's one-stop solution for sexual harassment prevention training and policies. All employers in the New York State are now required to train all employees annually, no matter the size of the company. For more information, discriminationpreventiontraining.com or 646-216-8038.